Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to A Team of Voices Radio. This is Deborah Lee, and that was Mad World. And I just clicked on the wrong thing. Okay, here we go. And that was the version by Gary Jules. He's an American singer-songwriter known primarily for his cover version of the Tears for Fears song Mad World. He recorded with his friend Michael Andrews for the film Donnie Darko. It became UK's Christmas number one single in 2003. The difference between the Tears for Fears original version from 1982 and theirs is pretty profound, and though it doesn't happen too often, because usually I'm hooked on a song and somebody covers it, you know, it's just like, oh, you know, that's really good. I much, much prefer the cover version of that particular song. So, anyway, just my opinion. And I'm here with Jay Hedder, my big brother. And we hang out together. Hey, Hedder. We hang out together at allpoetry.com. It's a humongous poetry site where you can join for free. And if you do, hit the groups page and look us up. Again, we're a team of voices. Just knock and come hang out. You can call in and join the show at 1-646-668-2837. We'd love to hear from you. And if you are already on All Poetry, check us out on the group's page, and you can join and follow the topic boards to find out the prompts and participate in the radio if you'd like to. And sorry about the traffic going by. I'm going to open up the studio. I am going to say hello to Sweepy. Hey, Sweep.
Hey, darling. How are you?
Hanging in there. How are you?
I'm doing good.
And I'm glad. And I want to say hi to the dynamic duo, Stephen and Kay. Hello, you guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Good to hear you. And right behind them is Wayne Gent. Welcome to the show, Wayne.
How you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
A big rabbit.
Say, Heather, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Cool.
Also want to tell everyone at tomorrow's show that was due to air at 7 p.m. with a Grassman has been postponed until next month because he had oral surgery and he's in mega pain. So his amazing topic covering the Lady Poets will be next month, which gives you time to enter his contest and write for the show if you're interested. Emily Dickinson was one of them, so I had a good time writing for that one. And in the meantime, I am going to go grab Kay's poem because Kay and Stephen do their own radio show later tonight, and they'll tell you more about that in a while. This picture, I saw this picture, and I fell in love with it. And because of the colors, I thought of Kay. And it was just like, I hope she loves this, and I hope she picks this number. And, I was originally going to have people pick between 1 and 4, and then I stumbled across this, and I had to add it to the list. So it turned into 1 and 5. So I'm anxious to see what she did with it. So, Kay, take it away.
Okay, yeah, I call this Mirrors, Vanity, Centerpieces, Bonfires Upon Stage. And here I go. Warmth of sapphire, petals, and flames, glaze and inchworm, preen and marigold. Hands warm to the touch, coastline against cobalt thunderance, powder in the tinted silhouette of bloom. Soft against a chestnut structure, cradled in freckling, shop-worn days, cloaked as a cottage against the bitter chill of winter's amber stills. Silence in the banquet halls of merriment, gold dust reeds. Worn by the warmth of the honeydewed sun, pitberry roots seed the earth. Anchored waters trapeze through, popcorns of kernels weeping upon bare feet. Shadow and mist sit in the readiness of a pale breath, shadow horsemen, steeplechase and a thorn, showcased in quadrogram, pilgrim a drop to spill. Arrogance wears ugly upon the chains of bedfellows or chambers, bruised in the pilgrimage of skill. End poem.
Wow. Now I started talking to the mute button and then realized that the light was lit. The mirrors, vanities, centerpieces, bonfires upon stage. Your titles are always, always really kick-ass. There's a lot of visuals in this one. I'm trying to soft against the chestnut structure, cradled in freckling shop-worn days, cloaked is the cottage against the bitter chill of winter, amber stills silencing the banquet halls of merriment. There is such a sadness to the thought of a silent banquet hall when there's no merriment and nothing's happening. And for some reason, that part right there put in my mind a place that used to be, well, I don't live in that town at the moment, but where I used to live, it was a place where there was amazing, beautiful weddings quite often, and with everything that happened, I think it's pretty sad that the brush and vegetation is like trying to take the building back because nobody's having banquets at the moment, and you know, I guess they can't afford to get the gardeners out there or something. So it gave me a sad feeling there. And popcorn kernels weeping upon bare feet. Popcorn kernels hurt because they're usually hot. Ones that don't pop. So I got visions of pain for that one. So I can always read your stuff more than once and be forced into different images and memories just through your phrasing, which is a pretty awesome talent, I'd have to say. You did awesome with this, and I was so thrilled to know that you loved it. It's just such a beautiful picture. And as usual, your metaphors are off the hook, so brilliant work, Kay.
You need to tell how the prompt works. It's not only just the picture. They've got three or colors to pick out of a Crayola box, and then a quote also. Which one is it?
On this one, I think it was crayon colors and also a word bank and a photo. So you had to combine all three of them. And again, I say she did it brilliantly.
Exercise of that poetic muscle.
For sure. Good one. She's got Popeye poetic muscles.
Feel the burn.
Yep, what?
So what do you think, Wayne?
Well, I think the last ending in this poem to me says it all. She said, arrogance wears ugly upon the chains, the bedfellows your chambers, rousing the pilgrims of skill. That's what I've been thinking about all day, something just like that. It seems like she read my mind. But it's, I got a lot happening tonight, so it's a point that has a lot of meaning to me. It's a good job, okay?
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, can you comment for your wife, please?
Yeah, I thought this was absolutely amazing. I love the imagery, of course. The cloaked is the cottage against the bitter chill of winter's amber stills, silencing the banquet halls of merriment. I told you my comment that shutting out the loudness and staying safe in our little quiet cottage. And yes, arrogance is an opportunity to hold someone back, and they don't even know it. I thought that this was a powerful piece.
Thank you.
Great comment. And I'm sorry, I don't know what that, I just totally skipped my sweet. Sweet, can you comment for Kay?
Yeah, absolutely. First off, I thought it was stunning, spectacular work of art, and I thought there was just a haunting beauty wrapped in the loneliness of her words.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And I am going to put Stevens on the board so he can read for us as well. I was waiting to see. When I saw this fish that took up the entire lake and the people fishing, I knew that this one had to go in his pile. So I'm anxious to see what you did and whether or not the people outside made it. So take us away.
All right, yeah. I almost went that direction, Deb, but then I decided to go a different direction. And I call this...
You usually do, sir.
Only fish with smarts become lunkers. Lunkers marinate in cobalt coastline reeded waters. Neath the blazing marigold honeydew sunrise, anglers rise from threadbare beds. With purpose, they surmise. Cocky gills vomit depleted fluid, mouth agape to funnel food. Fishermen harness inchworm maggots, popcorn clouds and sky set mood. Aquatic mahogany oculi detect copper lure that buzzes by. Rodman's silhouettes lose height as sun crosses tinted sky. Persimmon glare is at high noon. The trawlers now give up. Big Bass comes out from lily pad hiding to find a frog and sup. End poem.
Oh, the frog's in there, huh? To find a frog and sup. Wow, okay. Tacky gills, vomit, depleted fluid. Mouth agape to funnel food. Fishermen harness inchworm maggots, popcorn clouds and sky set mood. I actually found myself giggling just a little because of the fact that the word sky's in there and, you know, the deal with the maggots all being in the same stanza, so that just struck me a little bit funny. But aside from that, the end there, Big Bass comes out from the lily pad hiding to find a frog, and so I think that that is really cool, and like, I can't even imagine the size of the frog. And back at the beginning, lunkers marinate in cobalt coastline, reeded waters. Now, the cobalt coastline is hard to say. I don't know why. It's like, it's even harder than a tongue twister, you know. So your pairing and phrasing is really awesome, too. The aquatic mahogany oak light detect copper Thor that buzzed by. I think that this was extremely visual and really cool. And, oh, look at that, another 10. You're just racking them up. That is really, really awesome. And like, the word bank you chose went with this really cool. And I have absolutely put popcorn, like you put a few kernels into the, not kernels, popped pieces into the lake, and they draw attention, and then you can catch things a little bit easier. It's like a floating little, well, they float short for a short time, but they float. So those and corn from a can, you know, canned corn. This was really cool,
yeah.
Stephen. Yeah, yeah.
Thanks.
Hatter, are you still there? And go fishing with Stephen?
Unmuted. Yeah, I love that picture. I was just writing down what reminded me of. How many times when you were a little kid did you have some subpar equipment or something, go throw it in a body of water you're not used to and hook into a monster?
Yeah.
Me, it happened a couple times, more than once. And,
yeah.
Got about a smile to my face of standing on the back of that monster, that fish. I want to see him hit that worm, that rubber worm he's got.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably about what the one looked like that I hit, hooked in Pima tuning that never made it to the surface. It wrapped around the anchor line and bastard.
Yeah. Well, remind me later. I'll tell you the best story of me and my dad.
Cool.
Carry on.
Okay. And sweet. Are you muted?
Yes, I'm muted. I'm saying fabulous things and nobody's hearing me. I love just about everything about this. I love the picture, FYI. But aquat mahogany oculi. I don't even know how to say all that all at once without being tongue-tied. But copper lure that buzzes by, Rodman silhouette loses height as sun crosses tinted sky. I love that stanza. Because the imagery just strikes me. And the second stanza, too, I love that one. Because, I don't know, it just describes this great adventure of fishing. And I'm not a big fisher person. I'm just just have had my fill of it and would rather never do it again. But this is just gorgeous, the way you talk about being out there, and it sounds like the big fish tail, right? You know, really the big fish tail. The gas comes out from lily pad hiding to find a frog and stuff. I mean, you know, you go on and on, but it does. It reminds me of, like, just being out there and going, oh, it's the biggest bass I ever saw and all this. But khaki gills, vomit, depleted fluid. It's kind of gross, too, the way you think, if you think about it. But it's fun, and it's gorgeous, and I really enjoyed it.
Thanks, sweet.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Wayne dropped. I wonder what happened. I don't see a message. Okay, maybe he will dial back. Okay, so in the meantime, if he calls back, I don't know if he did or didn't get to hear your poem, but how about you tell everybody about the show? I had never heard of it before, Stephen, and I learned about it through your prompt. Anyway, and tell people what's up.
Yeah, it's actually kind of interesting how many people have never heard of it. And, I mean, somebody, at least one extremely famous person was involved in it. Our topic tonight at the mortuary at 11:30 p.m. Eastern is true crime, and we're going with the Wonderland Murders, which porn star John Holmes was the major player in, and more than likely part of the killings as well, although it was never proved. In fact, it's still an open case, it's still not solved. So that's the prompt for tonight. We're going to start trying to do true crime every now and then, and this is our inaugural episode.
Oh, cool. Cool. And like, the guy that's famous, if I'm thinking of the right person, he was a star. And like, I'm fairly sure that at that time I was a little too young to care about that kind of movie, so I wouldn't have really heard of him. Just saying.
John Holmes.
Yeah, John Holmes, yep.
Okay, you guys say so. Anyway, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, I learned a lot from my prompt. From the prompt itself, I mean, not from mine.
Holy crap. I got to make it back
to
the cave.
Wow, what was that?
Muted.
That was at your house?
Oh,
it sounded like, you know that canned horn? What do you, they call that?
No.
Air horn or whatever that you can buy and scare the heck out of someone or rudely wake somebody up with?
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like. Either that or somebody had way too many beans yesterday. Just saying.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's it. It's Batman again.
I was gonna
tell you what it was, but not now.
Uh-oh.
Let your minds go all the which way.
No, now we want to know. You can't build it up like that and not tell us.
Something like a Yamaha. No, Kawasaki something.
It's
a cafe racer. Cross Rocket.
Ah.
Cross Rocket.
Like he's in the room with you.
Yeah, that one basically was. And I used to get busted for modified exhaust. Yeah, never like that.
Oh, I know. Some of the people ride around here with those glass pack things and stuff like that. And it's just I really want to go out and stop them in the middle of the street and slap the hell out of the person. And it always seems like he screams with it the loudest, you know, in the wee hours of the morning when, like, kids are sleeping and whatnot. He's a creep. Anyway, could be a she. Don't know.
What kind of car?
Let's see. Okay. I don't know. Some kind of foreign car, one of the little kinds. Like a little Datsun or something.
Yeah, Mitsubishi.
Could be, yeah, something like
alcohol.
But they put that on there, and I mean, I don't see what the joy is, because you have to ride around in it all the time and hear that. So, like, I would imagine
they want to be
the decibels are, and well, the decibels are probably killing his eardrums anyway.
Right. What kind of person puts a spoiler on the Honda Civic?
The kind of person that what?
Puts a spoiler on a Honda Civic.
Is he might get airbound now.
You sound like the whiner.
Yeah.
Right?
He rolls it down the hill. Airbound.
Say hello to Linda. Liquid Damage. Hello. How you doing?
No, Linda.
Hi, I didn't know if you guys were on yet. I got my times discombobulated. But hi.
Daylight savings mess you up, huh?
Yes, I guess it did.
Yeah, it got AP left last week, I think. And then he'll get used to it, and then they'll do daylight savings down in Oz and throw us off another hour again. So it all works out eventually.
All right.
Yeah.
Right on.
So how's everybody doing? Hanging in there. You sound way better. I hope the pain's eased up a lot for you.
Yeah, well, I just took my pain medication a little while ago. I took a little nap, and I'm feeling raring to go.
Oh, cool. Glad to hear it. Okay, let me see here. I am going to grab a poem, and I'm just... Nobody saw anything from Wayne, right? Because I was going to let him go
Ahead. Said, go ahead. He said he had to prepare for court.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he fled. He may not be back. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's right. Coming in and out.
Yep.
Wow. All right, well, I'll hold up just a little, just in case. And I am going to come over here. And let's see. I'm going to grab Sweet's poem since I see it there and put it on the board because I'm anxious to see what she did with this picture. And I thought for sure she wouldn't choose it, and she did. So cool, because sometimes I put them in there and I'm like, why am I giving them a choice? I want them to write to this one. Sometimes it works out for me. Sometimes it don't. And this time it did. Twice it did this week. So, oh, and another weird part, AP apparently wrote a stanza while he waited for me to give him a photo, and then when I gave him a photo, strangely enough, the stanza worked really well with the picture, so it was kind of freaky. So you got to love it when a poem comes together. Sweet potato pie, your turn, darling.
I love it because it goes into my Wonderland collection. So.
Yes, ma'am.
So this is Cheshire Smiles and Marigold Eyes. Mirrors talk backward and false hands of forwarding time. Caterpillars hookah colored smoke and inchworm neon green. Covers the scene of freckling flutterbys, dying screams. A madman in hats watches the girl Alice fight the Red Queen. Quick-witted and brave, she bobbed and weaved, sparing her head from bobbing along in the bloodstream. Lost in Wonderland, she wandered on cobalt blue stones, under marigold skies with honeydew clouds, the Mad Hatter, a ghost by her side, watching her cry. In the land of snow and fire, trees took her by surprise. Vines entwined through her skin, and Alice, puppet, did rise. Spiraling into the darkness, she saw a cat on a trapeze smile. Alice smelt tea, yawned, and thought, my, what a dream. But the Mad Hatter grabbed her hand and showed her his cottage. Eat, he said proudly, of his spread, a banquet for a goddess. White apron stained in mud and blood, Alice felt scorned. but she began to relax in the company of the Hatter, sipping on tea and listening to his chatter. Nothing did matter. Eyes grew heavy and the sad man did pour his powdery sleep potion onto the floor, when the black cat with a wicked grin jumped from the air and with marigold eyes started to stare. Hatter ran his fingers through her silk strands of hair. He whispered a secret into her ear. Alice smiled and looked back at the cat, knowing why Wonder was named by a mad man in all of his hats and poems.
Too cool. Oh, my goodness, I love it. Wow. You got everything in there, the tea and all, but let me back up. Let me go back. A man in his hats watched the girl Alice fight the Red Queen. Quick-witted and brave, she bobbed and she weaved, sparring her head and bobbing along in the bloodstream. I always love how you throw yourself into the rites whenever it's going to be part of your Wonderland pieces. What's that called anyway? Oh, I don't see you didn't save it. Not yet. Anyway, I think that the eyelids grew heavy and the Sandman did pour his powdery sleep potion onto the floor when the black cat with a wicked grin jumped from the air and with marigold eyes started to stare. So that was kind of spooky because, like, look at him. He looks like he was almost charbroiled. So the Cheshire, it's like the, if the Cheshire cat's the light, then this version's the darkness, and that grin is even more creepy. And you know, and any time I find anything remotely Alice in Wonderland where the Alice is a redhead, it winds up in a pile that's so sweet. So I always enjoy what you do to them. I could keep with white apron stained in mud and blood, Alice felt scorned. You had the part that got me the most, other than the amazingness of the poem and how much I love listening to you read, is all the internal rhyme and stuff that you put in here, which, you know, you're not, your go-to is not always rhyme, but when you bring one to impress Hatter, there's always rhyme in there. And I think that's really, really awesome. And it shows how much you love our Hatter. So normally I go right to Stephen and Kay, but for this particular one, I got to go to Hatter first. Hatter, you got a whole collection that you inspire, and Sweet always puts you in there. What do you think? Hatter, are you muted?
Hatter?
I lost Hatter.
Oh, there's Hatter. Wait a minute. Hatter, how long were you
unmuted.
On hold? It doesn't... Huh?
Did you unmute me?
I did. Sorry, I didn't know you were muted.
Okay.
I
got booted at the beginning of it, yeah, when she first started reading, so I only caught part of it, but I'm going over it again.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. You look at it, and I'm going to get Stephen and Kay to comment so that they can do their Mortuary or Shadows thing. So, Kay, you want to go first?
I like what you brought. I like the way you read it. Because as I said, reading it reads, you bring Wonderland to life. The words from the views, and to take one by the hand, to whisper and make clear, one half.
Thank you.
Oops.
Awesome comment, Stephen.
Yeah, I really like this. I really, really when you started with the opposites, Mirrors TikTok backwards, and False Hands of Forwarding Time. And of course, the hookah was. Can you really do that down through in here? It seemed to me that you tried to slip Alice a Mickey. What on there, Hattie?
That's funny. Oh.
Oh my goodness! Awesome comments, Linda. What did you think?
I always think Sweet Pea stuff is cool. They're so, especially the Wonderland series. I mean, they're just so well written in the style of Carol, and it keeps the story of Wonderland going, and I like that it perpetuates this wonderful, wonderful piece of art. I think you did a great job, Sweet Pea, and listening to you read it is always so much fun. Thank you for sharing this.
Oh, thank you, Linda, very much.
You're very welcome.
And then Hatman.
Unmuted. Hey. Most profound things I've ever said, I just said. So I take Alice to my cottage. Alice, show my wares. Spread the banquet for the goddess. Everything you write, it's a continued, it seems like a continued story. Whether it's sneaking on tea, listening for the chatter. It. I'm sorry I missed you read it. I have to listen to it. I hear you. Another good one.
Thank you, Hatter.
Awesome, awesome. Let me see here. I think I am going to grab Heavenly Angel's poem in case she gets called away. So let me grab that and I will read that for her. And oh, wait a minute. Oh, she's saying bye to them. Okay. I thought she was saying bye already and I didn't get a chance. Okay. I think Lady A would be jealous of this prompt. But I have another blonde one. If Lady A ever chooses that particular number, it doesn't have to go away. Anyhow, this is called Beauty by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. Okay, let me... All right, here we go. Her outward beauty is breathtaking. Tresses of marigold tinted with copper and khaki, swept back, fully exposed, vibrant, artistic expressions of divine elegance. She's beauty painted in graphic form, brushstrokes creating silhouettes, capturing cobalt blue eyes blazing with flecks of honeydew. Eyes framed under mahogany lashes speak deep of inner beauty, alabaster complexion flawless, persimmon cheeks with ruby red fullness of lips sends suitors bloodstream flowing like cherry neon lava. High curves of the brow, perfectly raised, mirrors thin inchworms. One glance, one spoken word, men are spiraling under her spell as puppets on a string, dancing on her coastline of seduction. Her stunning beauty is refreshment to lonely suitors, so much better than sweets, popcorn, or drink. She is beauty personified, and she isn't even aware. And poem. Really cool. Towards the, where was the third stanza. Brushstrokes creating silhouettes, capturing cobalt blue blazing eyes with flecks of honeydew. The descriptions here are excellent. Eyes framed under mahogany lashes speak deep of inner beauty, an absolutely gorgeous way of you know, the what's the old adage, the eyes are the windows to the soul. Well, that's saying it beautifully, speak deep of inner beauty. The high curves of the brow, perfectly raised mirror thin inchworms. I think that's the first time I've ever heard eyebrows described as inchworms, yet it works really cool. So, like, I like the use of the word bank here. I like the whole story from beginning to end. And the closing line, she is beauty personified and she isn't even aware. Most of the time, a beautiful girl who is aware is a stuck-up snob that you don't want to know anyway. It's the one who isn't aware or doesn't believe it that is more endearing, in my opinion. So that's what that made me think of at the end. Nobody likes a stuck-up snob, just saying. But the poem is gorgeous, and it's always an honor to read for Angel. Great job, Angel. Thank you so much. Sweet, what did you think?
Oh, sorry about that. I lost my place.
Okay.
I thought I was on mute, and I wasn't. Go figure. Sorry, I love the last line in that, or the last stanza, where she talks about her stunning beauty as refreshment to lonely suitors, so much better than sweets, popcorn, or drink. She's a beauty personified, and she isn't even aware. I think sometimes that's where beauty is the most beautiful, when someone isn't aware, and, you know, they don't know, and there isn't arrogance behind it or anything like that. So I think that's gorgeous. And that unrecognized makes them even more beautiful. So I found that really a great last stanza.
Agreed. Great comment. And Linda, what you
think? Well, I just love this piece. The way she, I wish I could get my makeup on like that, first of all. It would be much easier. But I think coming from Sweet Pea, this piece just totally fit. I'm sorry, Angel. Your imagery was fantastic, and I believe anyone could have pictured her beauty just by the description without seeing the picture. And yeah, I, as well as the rest of you, enjoyed that last line, because yeah, the pretty that know they're pretty are actually ugly people. And this was a very nice way to end this beautiful poem. Good job.
Awesome comment. Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm going to change a moment. Let me say hello to the man, Oz. Hey, AP, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave.
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
I'm quite well, thank you. Doing well.
And are you on a break down there in Oz?
I am on a break, too. Squeegee in, that would be quite nice, but I'm in your hands, Steph.
I am going to grab your poem right now and bring it to the board. And I was actually, at the beginning, I was saying about how you had a stanza that blew me away because you hadn't seen the photo yet. So
yeah, the first stanza I'd written before I'd seen the image, which is kind of fun, but then it fitted, which is even more
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, that's what
so.
It blew me away. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you do with the rest of it, and it is up there for you, so press away.
Thank you very much. Great image. Great image. Deb, love the image. This is
yeah, I knew you would.
Yeah, love the image. And it goes a little bit like this. Heavy mahogany stanza is ready for a drink. Broad centrepiece in this old barn stands stark, maize smashed about while copper clouds sink, khaki silhouettes as orders echoing in dark. On the brick chimney, a mirror edged in quartz reflected their reptilian jaws with robotic limbs. Ink patina is blazing while reaching for quartz. Stachio liquor on the teeth barely skims. Hurtling with steel motion off the coastline, bearing salmon to simmon, just as they peel, as asteroids, the dactyls jet stew wine. My tinted glasses observe as jet fighters squeal. In poem.
Well, you know, when I saw the first stanza that you had sent, I was like, you know, you think barnstormers and stuff like that. So even that didn't need to change at all. And then if you look, there's yellows and stuff in there. So the maze, I'm totally blown away that you were able to put that stanza there before I showed you any photo and then came up with this. Aside from the rhyme and flow that's always there, you put the words in there to the point where I wasn't sure. I couldn't remember which ones were and which ones weren't the word banks. And with stuff like pistachio liquor on metallic teeth barely skims, I did happen to remember the pistachio. That's probably the only one I was positive was one of mine. I especially like the closing there, too, as asteroids, the pterodactyls with jets do whine, by tinted glasses observe as jet fighters squeal. And it was like there was sound effects in there, so you had visuals and you had sounds, so it was like a treat for the senses. But nothing blows me away more than the fact that you had so much there already that perfectly fit without seeing it. So, like, I love it when a poem comes together, but usually after I give you some kind of, you know, photo. I'm just blown away by it. And then you build, like I said, to build on that and just keep going and not have to change a damn thing. It is pretty outstanding. So that's intriguing. Appreciate you writing for the show, and let me get you some comments.
No,
sweet. What you think? Unmute. Sweet. Unmute, hon. Okay, that's weird. Linda, will you comment for AP, please?
Yeah, hi, AP. How are you?
Hi, good evening. How are you?
I'm good. I really like this. I like the abstract view you took on this piece, and your imagery was quite flowing with the picture. I mean, the colors you used were excellent. I really enjoyed that color scheme in itself. But your poem, to say that you wrote it before you saw the picture or wrote part of it before you saw the picture, I think that speaks to your artistic ability right there. By just using the picture prompt or using the word prompt and the color prompts to be able to write a portion of your poem without seeing the picture speaks a lot for your talent. Anyway, I think you did a really great job on this, AP. Thanks for sharing it.
No, thanks, Linda. Thank you.
I'm here now.
Awesome comment.
Okay.
And sweet. Will you comment?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My phone was like whatever it was doing. I love the imagery in this. I love the first stanza. Broad centerpiece in this old barn stands dark. That's just gorgeous. I mean, the whole flight of what you're going over and then the description of the plane itself, the hurtling with steel locomotion off the coastline, flaring salmon and the asteroid, and the way you describe it in the dinosaur. I mean, I know it, just the way it is and the way it looks and tinted glasses observe as jet fighters squeal, the whole battle line of it, and it's just got so much imagery and the way you work it through it, and literally the battle and everything, it's just all in there. The imagery just really is incredible, because I see the whole, it's like World War II battle and the antiquated way that it was fought and where it was fought. It just has a whole big scenery in my head. For such a little poem, it creates a big old story in my head. It's fascinating and fantastic.
Thank you, sweet. And it's funny you say that, because that band was sort of very World War II-ish, and then I got the image and went from there.
Yeah,
definitely
I think
worked.
He was just as shocked as I was that it worked so well. Because I knew he hadn't seen it. I was like, whoa,
no,
really?
No.
Yeah, yeah. So that was really awesome. And Joy must have made Hatter go grill, so he'll be back. And it's a little bit quiet tonight, so everyone got to comment. And again, I say I appreciate you calling on your break. And, as soon as we get used to this daylight savings here, they'll do yours, and we'll have to start over again, you know.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, no, we've got daylight saving finishing here in only a couple of days. So the time will change from nobody else, but it'll change from me. So that will happen very soon. But just a fantastic image, Deb. I love the image. I haven't seen. It's truly, truly quite unique. I thought it was really cute. So it needed some sort of
thing. I even thought that, if you got your hands on it, you might even try your hand at flying it. It's so cool. If only it was, can you imagine flying through the air in a pterodactyle? I mean, wow.
So cool. Yeah, so cool. So, no, it's great. So, thanks again, Deb. Have a great evening, and we'll talk soon.
All right, you too. Take care.
Okay. Again,
love and respect.
Okay, cheers. Thank you.
Okay, now let me see here. I am... I am going to see if I can get Sweet to read for Budo for me.
Absolutely.
And I am trying to find a voice. There it is. Okay, so as soon as you see it, go ahead and read for me.
Okay. This is El Rey by Budo. Blazing the stratospheric coastline, boiling bloodstreams of the popcorn generation, a larger-than-life icon of flesh and bone, embellished and polished in neon, adorned in sapphire and Gibson mahogany, strutting his hipster fractures to infinity, a spiraling dervish of infinitesimal chestnut and khaki cotton pleated greased follicles, tinted ebony from berry blonde, in fame exploited by omnipotent fingers held taut strings by a colonel, a mere puppet to the copper carnival of flights, never emancipated to live freely and fully in the confines of a gilded squirreled cage, meeting his forever girl overseas, a whirlwind romance and marriage, but alas, mirrors of infidelity follow and break the surly bonds of matrimony, and those shadowy silhouettes of ones he trusted leave him faceless as his mother had, wilting leaves on a family vine, withered and crestfallen on the bright lights of success, meandering alone in crowds of accolades, he plods the final path, a derelict destructor on a collision course, in fate's cruel taste of bitter crimson, when too much of a good thing turns rancid, and amber stains are all that remain. End poem.
Great job. Sweet, it's uncanny. Some of the spots you took on like this, I don't even know if this is a real word, but like advocatory, where like you just stepped into there and advocated every word you were saying, and you put this enthusiasm in there that made it sound preteen's not the right word, but that's the first one that comes to mind. His fame exploited by omnipotent fingers he held taut the strings by a color, a mere puppet to the copper carnival of lights. Never emancipated to live freely and fully in the clothes of a gilded squirrel cage. Now there, for some reason, never emancipated, and I went to like a speech that would be made. So your emphasis was really cool in helping bring his words to life, and his use of the I'm so used to brevities that I was like, oh, wow, he dug his teeth into this one, and he pulled all the colors and images and the feel, and I know he's an Elvis fan, and I just think that this came out absolutely excellent. And what was the other? Meeting his forever girl overseas, a whirlwind romance and marriage, but alas, mirrors of infidelity follow and break. It was like the stories between the lines and mixed in with the metaphors, and I really, really enjoyed it. And before you comment, sweet, let's say hi to Frank. Hi, Frank. Welcome to the show.
Hello there, my friends. Can you hear me?
Sure can. Glad you're here.
All right. Well, that's always a pleasure.
Sweet, you want to comment, please?
Oh, absolutely. I think this poem deserved such inflection because I am a huge fan myself, and this is a true tribute to the king. I mean, his greatness just sucked dry by everyone that wanted a piece of him and a bite of him and just slowly, literally just took chunks and chunks of him, you know, cuts by a, or death by a thousand cuts, you know, and just left him destitute when they felt, you know, they couldn't have everything from him. They just kind of fed him the drugs and fed him everything. You know, you're not quite good enough. You're not quite good enough anymore. You're not quite good enough. And, you know, when we couldn't produce millions and they only thought he was producing pennies, they would turn on him. And this is just an amazing poem with an amazing ending. And it literally is almost something you could just cry over. I thought he did just a beautiful job with it.
Awesome comment. And thank you again for reading it. Linda, will you comment for Budo?
Yeah, I sure will. Budo, great job, first of all. It was really neat to see how you molded his life down to a beautifully sized poem. I mean, you took his whole life. If there was a prize for an autobiography brevity, this would take it. You molded his whole life down to fit this little to fit the program here, and you hit his milestones and some stuff that, you know, in his life that we would be interested in knowing. But you did a really great job portraying this in this nicely flowing small poem. Thank you, Budo, for sharing. It was great.
Awesome comment. And Frank, what did you think?
Yeah, I have to say I heard about three-fourths of it, but I did read it afterwards. I thought it was an exceptional write, a brilliant narrative, an ode to a certain extent of Elvis. The metaphors were very explicit, and I love the usage naturally of his beautiful words here from the word bank there. I thought this was probably one of his best pieces here. I've seen him write of this length. I do agree. I'm used to seeing more of his brevities here, and this one extends to a certain extent to this brevity that we are used to. This just enriched with colorful metaphors that just, it's incredible that he was able to write all of this and give a tribute here, a narrative of the king himself, of El Rey, if you want to call him that in Spanish, Elvis, and do it in such an efficient way and manner that he paid a respectful homage and a damn good one, I would say, as well. In the end, this was just an exceptional piece.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much. And I am going to grab... I put Phil's on the board, but I want you to see the photo that he wrote to. But I have so many different Okay, here we go. I posted a lot of my prompts my topic boards already, so I've got a ton of, okay, and it was after those. I got a ton of photos in the queue here, and I'm trying to find the melty. There it is. Now, that's the photo Phil was inspired to write by. And if you click on his poem, I will push his recording. And let me do that now.
This is a poem by Philip Poet called The Mundane Melts. Monday morning, the start of another mundane week. Get into my car, check the mirrors, adjust the seat. Start the engine, the only highlight of the day. Then the car starts to move in a very strange way. The floor opens up like pistachio mush. My legs marinate in a perfect crush. Melting away, I disappear into another world. Spiraling out of control, I feel like I'm going to hell. Projectile vomit of quartz, amber, and sapphire flows like a sparkling rainbow in a neon fire. Catching my breath in a field of maize, the strange adventure has left me in a daze. A salmon in a chestnut waistcoat and monocle spoke to me in a voice that was very methodical. Put on this harness and follow me down this tunnel. Then from his gills appeared a conical funnel. In a blink of an eye, I was inside of a berry, where everyone seemed rather jolly and merry. A maggot came with caviar and cream, started feeding it me through my bloodstream. The voice of a hand puppet monkey woke me up. They said I had a seizure. Lucky I only got a cut. Taking me into the hospital for a check over and bloods. Then I realized that all the paramedics were quacking like ducks. End poem.
I wasn't expecting that. Okay, that was really cool. I don't know how I would feel if my paramedics started quacking like ducks. Wow. I think that I never know what to expect from Phil. But he always amazes me, and I'm so, I know I've said it once or twice already, but I can't imagine enough how thrilled I am that you're taping them now, Phil, because it's really, really incredible to get to hear you read for us. Monday morning. Monday's not usually many people's favorite day, so I like that, you know, it starts off as a Monday, The legs marinate in a perfect crush, melting away. I disappear into another world. And you think, uh-oh. And your use of colors here bring this other place to life. A salmon in a chestnut waistcoat and monocle. I'm picturing this. I mean, you really stepped into another realm when you melted down into the asphalt there. I don't know what I was expecting you to do. Maybe, you know, just talk, is it hot enough for you or something like that. But by the time we got to the voice and hand puppet monkey woke me up, they said I had a seizure. Lucky I only got a cut. Taking me to the hospital for a checkover and bloods, then I realized that all the paramedics were cracking like ducks. I mean, I don't know if that's heat stroke, but, man, I really got a kick out of what you did with this, out of your use of the word bank, out of the giggle at the end that I very much needed. I think that you did a brilliant job, and this is my new favorite of yours. Great job. How about you, Frank? What did you think?
Well, I agree. I thought this was a very creative piece. I have to say it was very creative in the fact that he was able to use an effective rhyming pattern and maintain the flow of the narrative. This is a very incredible writer. I have to tip my hat off to Phil for able to use the rhyming scheme, use the metaphors, and use the words of the word base and implement them in such a manner that he makes storyline more coherently effective. And that I have to say, after seeing the image there, the prompt itself, I have to congratulate him even more. It is a very surreal piece here. Yet at the same time, he just was brilliant here in the way he created this poem here from the prompt and inspired a storyline such as this one.
Awesome comment. And sweet. Unmute.
I loved his storyline. I thought his rhyme was excellent. And I also loved listening to his voice, like you said. I think that he was just a fabulous individual, listening to him read and listening to Phil, just hearing him talk and listen to his rhymes. And it's just another one of his great poems I really enjoyed.
Awesome comment. And will you comment for Phil and then read us your poem?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Linda?
No, I'm sorry. I thought I lost contact because I couldn't hear anything.
You didn't lose contact. Her phone dropped, so she'll probably dial right back. I will give her a second because she's the next reader anyway. Okay, well, I'll take a moment again while we wait for her to dial back to remind everyone that poor Gress had some unexpected oral surgery, and he's in a lot of pain, so he will not be doing his show tomorrow night. And since he is a once-a-month host for us, his show has been only postponed, not canceled. He will cover the Lady Poets on April 27th in his normal time slot of 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. So if you wrote for him, your poem will still make it to a show. And if you haven't, he's got like Sylvia Plath and Emily Dickinson and Elizabeth Barrett Browning, and you get to pick any of their poems and write what you're inspired to write. So, you know, check out his topic. And Gress, I hope you feel better. I hate when you guys are in pain. And Linda is back. So, Linda, if you want to go ahead and comment for Phil and then read us your poem.
Yeah, I didn't know how far you got on that. I don't know at what point I got knocked off, but
you said one word and then you were gone.
Oh, okay. Well, what I wanted to say was I agreed with you in the fact that you never know where Phil's coming from, because he writes these beautiful love stories of yearning and heart, and then he'll turn around and write something like this, with which I thought the abstractivity versus the hallucination was very well done. I mean, he created his own art form here. I really liked the way it flowed, and I think he did it again, Phil. You've nailed it. So thanks, dude. It was great.
Awesome comment. And do you see yours? Can you go ahead and read?
Nope, I'm going to have to refresh, of course.
Well, fancy meeting that.
Okay, let's see here.
I was so happy at how excited you were over the photo, too. I hope everybody knows that if I put a photo and it doesn't speak to you, I want you to tell me, because it's not like I don't have a whole bunch more on standby just in case. And this is the first time that I put one up that Linda was like, can you change it? And then she was like, oh, pure joy. So I was really thrilled, and I can't wait to hear what.
Yeah, I was too.
Cool.
Thanks, Deb.
Take it away.
So this is called Moon Maiden, and Deb explained to me that the painting is actually called Moon Maiden, but there was no artist listed. So kudos out to you artists who drew this beautiful painting. Anyway, it goes like this. She captivated me that night at the funeral, a maiden so fair with chestnut hair, rising with the moon this odd day in June, with her silhouette cut sharp in sapphire colors with desirable heart, the night at the funeral. As the night spiraled down, I was feeling a frown as a puppet with strings all entangled, a mess I was in till I saw her dress made of marigold and butterflies. My bloodstream ran hot as I worked out the knots of my puppet strings that night at the funeral. That night at the funeral, she made me a brew she said would undo these feelings I felt, so I knelt down and prayed on the night of the funeral. She used amber and berry and a bit of fairy dust and threw in an inchworm a foot at a time to help out this rhyme to marinate. And finally, it fizzled and foamed, and then it was done in neon. And in neon it did illuminate that night at the funeral. She beckoned me near, though in fear we looked in the mirror and we drank down the brew she had construed. It tasted like honeydew and made me feel free and new, like harnessed electrical magnets, cobalt vomit, that night at the funeral. End poem.
Whoa. Well, the ending was unexpected. My goodness. Okay.
That's what I was going for.
For one thing, this is another time where if you hadn't have highlighted the word bank, I would have just had to go looking for the words because, you know, you use them flawlessly. They just, you know, they're in the story and they help you paint the picture and bring it to life. And I'm very much in awe of that. And you still, no matter what the word bank is or what the photo is, you always manage to bring us a story from, you know, that evokes emotions. Like in this one, where that night at the funeral, she beckoned me near. Through in fear, we looked in the mirrors and we drank down the brew. So there was like, oh, wait a minute. And back in the beginning, with her silhouette cut sharp in sapphire colors with desirable heart that night at the funeral, as the night spiraled down, I was feeling a frown as a puppet with strings are all tangled. So, like, you have a lot of great inner rhyme and stuff tonight, too. I think that, as usual, you did a good job combining the prompts and bringing them to life, and you absolutely are one of our lady story writer poets, and this is another impressive story. Absolutely fantastic job. And again, I say I'm glad that you spoke up and said, give me something else if it's going to bring stuff like this when you're inspired. I don't ever want you to force anything because I don't want to stifle the stuff that's coming out of you with these. So fantastic job. Sweet.
Thank you, Deb. And I wanted to apologize, actually, because on my computer, once the bold italic thing goes off the screen, I can't make the words bold anymore. So I missed a few at the end of the poem, cobalt, vomit, maggots, harness. Those are all also words, honeydew, that are from the word banks. So I apologize for not being able to get that figured out.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, don't ever worry about that. More often than not, nobody puts any – I guess because, it's not a contest. It's just a challenge. So you don't have to spend the extra time it would take to go into the editor and bold everything, you know, unless it's you're more comfortable that way. But otherwise – I mean, you're not going to get a penalty because you didn't use one of them, and it's totally up to you. But you do a brilliant job all the way around, and I want to get you some comments here. Sweet.
Thank you, Deb.
My pleasure. My sweet.
First off, anybody that can make a funeral sound this good or this dark and this crazy, I want to kind of go to that funeral with her. because a bit of fairy dust, then threw in an inchworm, a foot at a time to help us out of this rind, to marinate, and finally it fizzled in foam, and then it was done, and in the end it did illuminate. Now, granted, we did vomit as we drank, but at least we drank, you know, harnessed electric maggots, cobalt vomit. I mean, the rhyme is here, this incredible imagery. Like, I don't know what we were smoking before we went to the funeral, but once again, it was so much fun. I'm headed to the funeral with you, Linda. I don't
right
know
on,
why,
please.
But it just sounds like a funeral of some great fun.
We're
going to
rock
it. Yeah, we're having a lot of fun at this funeral. And we're praying, too.
Right
yeah.
on.
We're all there. That's right.
Cool.
We're good.
Celebration of life with cobalt vomit. What can I tell you?
That's right.
You like that cobalt vomit.
Yeah.
and what did you think?
Oh, I'm with you there at the funeral. As long as I'm not the one in the casket, I'm okay there. This
oh,
was
my.
I thought
right
this
on.
Was a very ingenious write. Superb lexicon in a rhyming scheme. The imagery above all was impeccable. And this notion here of the funeral, the way you painted and were inspired by the prompt, it just imbued itself with... you know, there was a soothing cadence to this piece here, a serenity to this piece here that was emerged here from the beginning. Although it does refer to a dark period, it does have attachment, a deep attachment of a serenity as well, as almost as if it's something that is inevitable. And the reference, of course, to the harness electrical maggots, cobalt vomit. Oh, that in itself would be an incredible image there to ponder there. I could only imagine what that would be in its truest, rawest form, but I thought you did an excellent job, my dear.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Are you welcome?
Awesome comments, everyone. Now, if you look on the board, I have Gerald's piece up there. If you click on that, I will push play.
Dog Latin Science, written and read by Gerald Green. I am Dogma, and I've known what's best for centuries. Just look at how I've guided kings and peoples, like an amber bloodstream, leading a religion undivided. Great has been my leadership through ages, while the devil tried to fight and weaken all resolve to do what's right and conquer gods and anointed fathers, priests and deacons. Only I can bring together people, making unity and giving hope to fractured cultures who, spiraling in despair, would be lost without the host and pope. Faith allows and energizes me to rise above and censure those refusing to believe. Creating doubt with mirrors, disrupting peace and joy, I thrive by sanctifying. I am science, and my record stands alone, without a need for priest or neon pontiff to explain or catechize the penitent or puppet who is kneeling at emotion's sapphire cliff. Facts are my devotion and religion, as I open windows and uncover more about the universe and nature, grass or berries on a bush. My goal is to discover. Slowly I emerged and slowly I have grown. But now that I'm mature and in control, the world is changing with a vengeance, nearly overwhelmed at what I've done. Superstition bows before my chestnut altar, while astrology is silenced by my proofs. Religion must agree with all I preach, all I calculate and quantify. If I might have a say about this game of chess involving dogma's sin and science's quest. As Father Time, I've been unwilling to predict which one of them will win. Just don't be fooled by what you hear or see. As one advances temporarily, this back and forth has lasted centuries. And how this ends, there is no guarantee. End poem.
Wow. This, when I put this one, he chose his number, and I saw that this one, it was this one. I waited to see what he was going to do because, like, one's Darwin, and I don't know, it's right on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember who the heck the other one is. But I like that he stepped into their shoes and did the back and forth. Great has been my leadership through ages while the devil tried to fight and weaken. And down further, slowly I emerged and slowly I have grown, but now I'm mature and in control. The world is changing with a vengeance, nearly overwhelmed at what I've done. Could you imagine being someone from the past and coming back? Like, you made predictions and you come back and find out how far you actually were all these years later. And I think the pieces of this in here really hit. I might have to say about this game of chess involving dogma, sins, and science quests. As Father Time, I've been unwilling to predict which one of them will win. I really, really liked the angle that he took here and the closing stanza there. Just don't be fooled by what you hear or see as one advances temporarily. The back and forth has lasted centuries, and how this ends, there's no guarantee. So it's like the game still goes on. It's still, time is still fighting and ticking on. So, Gerald, as usual, you did an amazing job. Always, always, always delighted by your recording. Next best thing to you being in the studio with us is getting to hear you read yourself. So I very much appreciate that. We all do. And you did an amazing job with this. So thank you so much. Sweet. Got a comment for Gerald, please?
Oh, God. I love actually, you stole every stanza I wanted. I love exactly everything you said. And he's just so passionate about his rights, isn't he? And he's so, like, on top of everything. And I really don't have anything else to say because you kind of said everything I was going to say. And I just love hearing his voice. His voice is always either very soothing or very, you know, I don't want to say teacher-like, but professor. Like, this is the lesson I'm going to give you tonight. This is what I have to say. Pay attention, because what I'm going to say, whether it's truth or fiction or whatever, it's something you want to hear. That's what I love about him.
Awesome comment. And let me get a comment from Linda, please.
Yeah, I read this poem earlier today, and I was very pleasantly enchanted by it. Gerald is a brilliant, brilliant writer, and it shows in this poem. And I like how he put it in an argument between dogma and science. It's very, in a very dogmatic way. The argument was sound and profound. And I love how he did it. And Gerald, you got another number one mark for me.
Awesome comment. And Frank, will you comment for Gerald and then read your poem for us?
Yes. I thought this was a very creative piece of deep and intellectual intercourse between the voice of religion and science. And it was also a great philosophical write. And I agree. Gerald has this tendency, I would say ability as well, to be able to take a prompt and give us an interesting storyline to it and offer his own perception, his own thoughts, and at times his own emotions. So overall, this is a type of poetry that is rare, but at the same time, it's something that we should cherish in its form of expression. All right, just bear with me. I have to get off here. All right, this is the one I wrote. All right. I wrote this piece here. Actually, I wrote it before. I thought I had misunderstood the previous prompt, or the previous show you had, and I sent it to the wrong one. But even so, it was written. It's a piece that I wrote here that was inspired when I saw this prompt here. I have to say it was a little bit challenging here because I wasn't certain whether or not I'll take it to the extent of the usage of the word bank there. But I was able to conjure this, and this is the piece called Scarecrow Man, and it goes like this. Within the fields, once a maze, are the haunting images of evil. By a mahogany or copper surface, behind the mysterious rows of stocks. Beyond the sapphire trees of secrets come stately ravens from silhouettes, tinted in the ebony color of dread, as a spurring force of locomotion. They mass below the funnel clouds, changing from periwinkle to cobalt, if amber berry stains on the beaks, where the honeydew stalks are found. He bears a vanilla powdering shirt, floating like an acrobat on a trapeze, a flexible puppet in the centipedes, dressed like a modern scarecrow man. Maggots accompany the tear. The ravens bring another headless torso as the brutal nightmare just begins within the kidding fields of death. In the poem. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello, did that drop?
I got kicked off just as you started your maniacal laugh. I had to dial back.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault. I was just about to talk, and it went, no, you're not, click. But anyway, I love the title Scarecrow Man because that was kind of clever of you because, like, you know, you see the birds, and usually it's not like a headless guy that's the scarecrow, but I kind of got a kick out of the fact that you took it in that kind of a direction within the maze. So there's the cornfield, you know, but the haunting image of evil by a mahogany or copper surface behind the mysterious rows of stalks. That gave me an extra creepiness because, like, one of my daughters is absolutely horrified by cornfields. She doesn't like to drive by them. You won't catch her walking by one, and you would never, ever, ever catch her walking into it. And if she read the poem and then listened to you, like, down at the end, as the brutal nightmares just begins within the killing fields of death, just that part would have added to her creepiness for the cornfields. So I really think that it's cool where you took this. I did not look at that and think scarecrow, but it absolutely fits perfectly. So I think you did amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Well, I appreciate that, my dear. Thank you very much.
Well, I as well. I mean, you get me on that laugh every time. I know, and I know it's coming, but at the same time, it's like, boom, it's there, and it just gets me in the gut every time. Frank, this was like a beyond scary. You just have a very skillful way of bringing fright to the weak at heart, and you did really nicely. The job you did on this poem was like fantastic. And in the beginning, where you see the picture of the guy, I kind of got it was like maybe the spirit of an evil scarecrow, but. You worked it in to the poem really well. I liked it. I got a fright from it, and I love the laugh, Frank. I love the laugh. Mm. Good job.
Oh, I appreciate that. In fact, that image there, what I meant by that image there, is that there is a person who died, a person who was killed. So the ravens are escorting him onto the killing field.
Very cool.
Wow.
I appreciate that.
Awesome. And if I can get, we only have two left. I've got, what do we have here? We have Crystal and we have Wayne. So if I could get Sweet to read for Crystal and Frank to read for Wayne, we can just shut down. So Sweet, will you please read for Crystal? I'm putting it on the board right now. Did I get you to comment for Frank? I didn't comment for Frank. Okay, do please.
I thought it was fantastic. I love the imagery in it. I love the colors. It's like beyond the sapphire trees of secrets. I love that line. And tinted in the ebony color of dread. I thought those were great lines. A flexible puppet and the centerpiece dressed like the modern scarecrow man. Those are things that just pop up at me. Brutal nightmares just begins within the killing fields of death. Those are just some really great imagery lines, especially when you're writing dark. I thought they were stunning. Just great. All right.
Awesome. Start reading, one quick second, say hello to Lady A, the Queen of Canada.
Hello.
Hi,
hello,
Andrea.
Lady A.
Hi.
Hello.
Almost I know I'm late, but I wrote the poem 2 weeks ago, or last week,
Yeah, but it's still not that show, hon.
What?
That show's next week. You didn't even get a prompt for this one, dear heart. You got to look at the date.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
I can't wait to read the damn thing now.
I know. Well, all the build up, you know. We'll be looking forward to it. But, yeah, if there's only two, you might as well hang out with us for the two poems.
Yes.
Yeah, please? Come play with us.
I will indeed. I'm here.
Oh my God, this picture's stunning. So, Hope in Magenta Wings by Crystal Hope.
Wow.
Fairy feathers captured the skies, so sapphire like coral dust. Water droplets mist on her porcelain face as her purple wings crumble to amber rust. Chestnut strands dampen the highlights of her sunset light popcorn glow. Butterfly parades like silhouettes tinted with cotton candy snow. Gray clouds blaze with the colors of the rainbow, telling her it's okay to let go. She could spread her echoing wings, see the magic in the little things. She flew across the blueberry seas and found herself at a coastline of peace. She was the magenta design in a kaleidoscope, because where's life, there's hope. End poem.
Ooh.
Beautiful read. And don't you love how she always manages to bring hope into her poem? Let me see here. Her title, Hope Magenta Wings. I think this photo is stunning too, and her and I are both butterfly ladies, so I was excited to see where she was going to take this, because Crystal has been, she gets better, and I mean, we all do better and better every time we pick up the pen, but she has such a myriad of emotions that she's been covering just during the course of a month, and that's amazing. And I love stuff like
butterfly parades like silhouettes tinted with cotton candy snow. I love the thought of cotton candy snow. You just stand out in the yard and stick your tongue out and let all the cotton candy fall on your tongue. Could you imagine? But the closing, she flew across the blueberry seas and found herself as a coastline of peace. She was the magenta design in a kaleidoscope because where there's life, there's hope. Absolutely beautiful, uplifting, great use of the word bank. Love where she took this. Really, really love where she took this. And she also put it into a contest for Sky. So when you can get multi-use out of it, here, here. Awesome piece, Crystal, and I wish we would have got to hear you, but I totally understand when duty calls. Very much appreciate the beautiful poem. My sweet, you read. What you think?
Oh, I thought it was stunning. I mean, this is beautiful imagery and brilliance. I mean, oh, my God. I just totally fell in love with this poem of hers. I thought it was just stunning. Like you said, Crystal is just this amazing poet, and this just goes right there to it. I was just delighted by it. I can't even fathom the beauty of her colors. They just kind of go through your mind's eye, and you're like, yeah, that is the kaleidoscope I always want to see.
Awesome comment, and thank you again for reading. Just what you think.
I thought this, are you talking to me? Yes. I thought this was absolutely stunning. I thought it was perfection, and I just read what I wrote. It was perfection, gorgeous, image-filled, and the story within was just so wonderful. I love it. It was just gorgeous. The color in it, the way she put it all together and coordinated with that picture. She did the prompt entire and beautiful justice. And just her thought process writing this, it just was absolutely gorgeous.
Awesome, Tommy. And Linda, what did you think?
Well, I thought this was such beautifully honest and hopeful words have not often been spoken. This is the Crystal that I love and enjoy so much. The imagery in this flowered like a beautiful blossom ready to break. You know, right when that blossom, I have some tulips on my counter, and they're just ready to break forth. And that's what this poem instilled in my heart. She has such a way with beautifying things that I'm overwhelmed. I really, really love this, Crystal. Fantastic, fantastic job.
Awesome comment. Hey, Hatter, how is the chicken?
Yes.
Good.
Very good. Very good. Very good.
Awesome. And Frank, can you read for Wayne, please?
Okay.
Frank? Frank, are you muted?
There's somebody's on hold in the room. No, in the studio.
Somebody's got a really bad cold too.
Frank? No, you know what it is? I think that Linda has a super duper magnifying headset, or her phone's just a mega, because like I can hear her breathe. Frank, did you remember when Zappa's used to be like that all the time? You could hear a pin drop. His was so powerful. Linda's is too. Frank, are you still here?
A Hopefully last night he had to put himself on speaker.
Yeah, okay, we can't hear you though. Maybe mute and unmute.
Let's see.
Nope, still don't hear you.
You want me to read it for you?
Sure. So, thank you though, Frank. I don't know what happened. Yes, please.
Okay. And this is by Wayne Kent. It is called Guarding Against Invader by Wayne Kent. Quartz mirrors illuminate against amber neon skies, searching to harness evil during spiraling assassination flies. Sapphire bloodstream viper shadowed chestnut hillsides, dwelling in puddles of pistachio vomit, marinade where it hides. Its salmon thorax follows the poisonous machinery mind, praying the locking radar sharpshooter's weapons doesn't find. With webs of maize maggots hanging like puppets from jaw, the ignition of berry blinking artifacts confesses what it saw. Command to forge the eraser dart to defeat destructive eel, stabbed wounded invader, was labeled with name tag, killed, end peace. Wow. Wayne.
Yeah. I wasn't sure where he might go with this because the picture, I don't know why I even saved it for him. There was just something about it. I thought that he could, you know, use his comic skills and tickle us that way. But instead, I was like, wow, sapphire bloodstream viper shadowed chestnut hillsides dwelling in puddles of pistachio vomit. And I'm like, okay, we're not going the funny route. Praying the locking radar sharpshooter's weapon doesn't find the web of maize maggots. I mean, he went all out with the descriptors here, and you get a couple cringe-worthy images in this one. Labeled with name tag, killed. Like I said, I kind of thought he might go funny, and he went deep, and I wow. And I do. I love it when people totally go in a different direction, and I'm like, wow, and my chin hits the table, and this is one of those. So really awesome. And before you comment, Lady A, say hi to little Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Hello. How are y'all doing?
Good to
doing
hear
well.
You.
Good
to hear
good
you.
Deal.
And
hi, Gary.
We were just about to close down, so you got in just in time. You can read us out after we get comments. So, sis, these comments for Wayne.
Well, I'll just read what I just wrote to him. I just said that this was excellent. It was articulate. It was intelligent pen, a terrific story, vivid imagery, and it totally blew me away. It was just fantastic. Really, I think this is his best write ever.
What a
great
comment.
I loved it. Going on my list.
Awesome. Did you want to say something, Heather?
Lizards in the sky. Little Mongo Jerry. Yeah, what a picture.
Cool. Sweet, will you comment for Wayne, hon?
Where did everybody go?
Probably muted.
I'm here.
No, I'm not muted. I can't find the link for Wayne's poem on my board. I'm slow tonight.
Do they have a slowdown Tuesday? Slow down.
Yeah. So I will leave a comment.
I'll put it back for you. I'll put it back for you.
All right. Thank you. Well, I will get a comment to him.
Okay, no problem. Linda, will you comment for Wayne, and then we'll have Gary read us out?
I sure will. I know what you were thinking, Deb, when you gave him that picture. You were thinking, if anybody can do it, Wayne can do it. That's what you were thinking.
Yep.
I saw it as a kind of a little sonnet, beautifully minded. It flowed with the picture prompt so well, and the verses, I like what, I forget who said it, about being articulate. I saw them as very smart verses, and I couldn't choose which part I liked best out of them. But Wayne, yeah, he went out of his way to accomplish something unaccomplishable, as far as I saw it. That is a hard picture prompt to deal with, but he did it, and as only Wayne could do. So good job, buddy.
Awesome comment. And Gary, did you hear this one? Do you want to comment and then read for us?
I am so glad you asked me that. I don't think I've heard so many gross stuff put in a poetic way in my life. It was like one after another, like, dang. I thought it was awesome because it just hooked me in. I ain't going to say everything he's talking about was cool and not gross to me because it was super gross, but I liked the fact that it kept me going with it. Like, I wanted to hear more, you know, like I couldn't look away. So, hey, I thought it was great, and it was awesome. I love everything he does. He knows that. So, yeah, I loved it.
Awesome comment, and yours is on the board.
All right. This is called Word Church by Little Gary. Listen up, everyone, because my words are like church. I'm catching mermaids, and others are just catching perch. My words are a Ferrari that's hauling ass while my life is stuck in reverse. And I ain't stopping till the wheels fall off, y'all, on my freaking hearse. I'm blowing up, and I'm about to burst. Maybe it's just because me and my girl are making love like we don't give a damn who's coming in first. And you better know that we're acting just like whoever loses is going to get cursed. Hell, I guess when it comes to love making, we both have an unquenchable thirst. Sorry, y'all, because my dirty mind is the worst. Shame on me for loving to be sexually nursed. I guess this is the real me because I never rehearse. And I know that life will never let me be reimbursed. Hell, every day I'm trying to swim because money has got me submerged, making everything that I write sound just like it's a freaking outburst. Guess I'll never do any better. So when I do shit, I do it head first. Y'all pass the plate around, because this is Little Gary's Word Church, where every day you'll get another one of my life stories in rhyme, verse after verse after verse after verse. End point.
Very,
wow.
Very cute.
Yeah, And the fact that it was like put together like
yes.
From church. Could you imagine that church? My, oh my. Sorry, y'all, my mind is dirty at first. Hello. Hell, every day I'm trying to swim because money has got me submerged, making everything that I write sound just like an outburst. Really, really cool. And very much appreciate you skipping the other words. That was fantastic. The poem was fun, and you're
Yeehaw.
Always extremely, yeah. You're always really entertaining, Gary. And I know you're out there doing stand-up poetry and winning awards. So kudos to you. Let me get you some comments.
Yes, ma'am. You should
Linda,
win an award for your comment. That was the best.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Aww.
Hey, little Gary. Hey, little Gary, how are you?
Oh, I'm making
that
it. How are you?
I'm good. I don't have your poem right in front of me, so I can't quote any lines, but I listened to it well, and you, sir, are a funny, funny man. And what I want to know is I want to know about that little lady that you're bumping in the back of the hearse. Got any wisdom on that?
Yeah. No, I'm just trying to hold on to her. She's my inspiration. She's pretty awesome.
All right. So,
like that.
So you're getting sucked back in.
Yeah. Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Don't ever let it come between you and your poetry.
I can't comment on that one.
Okay, don't let it come between you and your poetry. You are a wonderful poet.
Ma'am.
This was a perfect example of your wisdom and your humor. I think you are a hilarious man. Keep up the good work and love your poetry. Good job, little Gary.
Awesome. Thank you. Man, I love your comment.
Great comment.
Well, you're welcome
Chip?
Very much.
Chirp, chirp.
Yeah, I love it, too. I think that you have a real gift and of rhyme and thought and entertainment, most of all. Like, you just are a real entertainer, and I thought it was a terrific piece. And I was quite curious, too, if this one you're speaking of is the one that you guys broke up not long ago. But whatever it is, I hope you're happy and you stay happy and never stop writing, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Oh, absolutely. I'm going to do, you know, what I can do. And
yep.
I'm going to be with people who support me and stuff like that. So whoever I'm talking about, she's supporting me for sure.
Excellent.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, everyone. Well, we are at that time. Next week's prompt is puppets. And we are going to get to hear the long-awaited poem that Lady Ye wrote last week.
For the three tries, and I'm out for sure.
I know,
but
right?
So, I didn't get prepared in time.
Well, that's
what
I did a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think you wrote too. But I have my next three Monday topics up. So take a look around and one is the puppets, do your own choosing, and one is about birds, where you pick a birdhouse, and I give you the bird that lives in the birdhouse, and I'm trying to think of what my third one is. That one is, let me see, where are you? The 19th. The 19th is Critters and Clothes. I found some really cute pictures. Like, for an example, there's an Australian shepherd that's dressed up like a pirate or a swashbuckler type of thing. Looks really cool. So check them out. So the next 3 weeks are up there. So nobody has an excuse for not checking them out and having a poem. And next week, like I said, we get to hear Lady A's puppet poem that she's been sitting on. I give her a seat waiting to share with us.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I'm going to thank Hatter for always being there. And I want to say thank you to Sweet and Steven and Kay and Wayne and Linda and AP and Frank and Lady A and little Gary. Appreciate you all calling very much. And thank you for the poem, Wayne. And Crystal, and Angel, and Budo, and thank you for the sound recordings from Gerald and Phil. You're all amazing, and it's always fantastic to get to hear your creativity, and I stand in awe of your brilliance. Going to send you away with some love and respect, and with the same song that we started with. So
we love you, Deb.
Love you back, and here we go. Drown my sorrow, no tomorrow. That seemed like it. That seemed like it ended abruptly, but okay. Thank you, everyone. Sweet and Hatter, you're the best. Love and respect.
What are we doing tomorrow? What are we doing tomorrow?
I don't know. I change it to 11. We can do whatever you want.
Okay. Close optional.
So plant. Plant something.
Group hug. Okay.
Yeah. Think of something, and we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you. Good night.
You're the best, Ed.